Chapter 15. Wives, remember, the way to a lasting marriage is faith and loyalty. You must have faith in your husband the way you have faith in God. When your husband turns from you, it is your duty to pray, "Lord, how can I change?" Sister Kimberly Jones, A Biblical Love. This is what I steal for Theo: 2 bottles of water, a near-empty jar of peanut butter, a can of tuna, a sleeve of steel crackers, and other little things nobody will notice. A pair of socks with a hole in the heel, a face mask hanging up to dry, all in a backpack with a broken strap. I'm sickened with guilt just looking at the backpack. I've barely eaten anything since I got here, taking just enough to keep myself on my feet. This is just what I would have taken if I'd actually eaten. Half that, a quarter, I guess. Plus, we're meeting the Vanguard in Wagner Commons tomorrow. Alex gave the news this morning. With 14 ears, we'll be getting enough food. Nobody will notice everything I'm shoving into the backpack. It's fine. I do some quick math. Nick only takes 3 people with him to the Vanguard. Something about their sensitive egos wanting to keep the numbers in their favor, whatever. Which means I have a 33% chance of not getting picked to go. Those numbers don't look good. I can't hide the grace tooth from him. Not from someone who knows what to look for. Not from someone I want to tell. Not from someone I need to tell. I checked the mirror as soon as the sun rose, and it confirmed my suspicions. I took out my actual canine with the pliers. My tooth, not the grace fang. I don't know how I did it wrong, how Seraph made me do it wrong. At least I can hide it for now. I tried talking to myself, and the words don't come out too badly. But there's more coming, and it hurts, and I'm doing the right thing. I'm being good. I'm just not telling anybody. When darkness falls, the night before the watch is called to the Vanguard, I sneak out the back. This time, I make sure Nick isn't following me. Brother Hutch and Reverend Brother Morrison weren't the only ones who spoke at Theo's and my engagement ceremony. Mom did too. She read a passage from Kimberly Jones's book on marriage, A Biblical Love. I remember because I saw her flipping through the book for hours beforehand with a pen, trying to find a passage that would hammer home my place as a wife. Like that could somehow beat the boy out of me. Kimberly Jones was a writer in the early angelic movement, still alive, I think, in a settlement in California, who got really popular a few years before Judgment Day. She was especially beloved by white women 30 and older, and was one of the best propaganda machines a fascist evangelical terrorist cult could ask for. It's amazing how locking down one key demographic, white people in rich countries, means you can get your claws into the world so tightly you can tear it all to pieces around you. "This is what's best for you," Mom told me. It was that or be shamed for giving up my body before marriage. As if I hadn't been forced to give up my body to something far, far worse. I could at least pick Theo. I could pick the when and how. I'd never gotten that anywhere else. By the time I reach Reformation Faith Evangelical Church, it's late. The moon is high in the sky, cradled by the Milky Way and all the thousands of stars. Maybe Mom is looking at the same sky right now, thinking it will all be okay when she brings me home. Me, with a knife to Theo's throat, "I'm not going back with you." I step through the back door to find nothing. No ambushes by death squads, no angels lying in wait. I hate that I was thinking it, but I'm always thinking it. Anyway, Reformation reeks. It smells like bodies and flood. The nest howls my arrival, rattling all the dead of Judgment Day. "I'm sorry," I whisper. "I didn't mean to disturb you." It quiets slowly, murmuring and rasping through the rafters. I take the bobby pins out of my hair like a housewife taking off her wedding ring before meeting up with her boyfriend. Theo! I step into the dark hallways, into the belly of the church. You still here? In the back. He's in one of the Sunday school classrooms, sitting on the teacher's desk and reading an illustrated kid's Bible. We didn't have those in New Nazareth. Kids don't need to be able to understand the scripture. Nobody's asking them to understand. Just obey. He's pilfered clothes from the donation pile, and it's the first time I've seen him in something that isn't Angel White's. Bulky shorts that cut off at an unflattering place near the knees, which, same. A plain t-shirt that's a little too big on him. And his hair has grown out since he was torn from the death squads, finally long enough that a pale little curl falls over his forehead. My stomach turns. I want to kiss him. I want to be sick. I want to hold his jaw in my hands and feel his body heat against my skin. I want to pretend he never hurt me, that everything is fine, that this is something we can move forward from. I'm scared. I don't want him to put a single hand on me. I don't want him to exhale in my direction. I want to wrap my arms around him and stay there forever. I want things to be how they used to be. It would be so much easier that way. Why does this have to be so hard? Oh, Theo says, because he's looking at me. Really looking at me. He has the time to take it all in. He slides off the desk, and I think he's about to rush to me and wrap me up in a hug, the way people used to do in old movies. But he stops halfway, teetering, not exactly sure what to do with me. He's got that confused look in his eyes, fumbling between wanting to touch me and wanting to back away. One mistake, and we're back to the beginning of our relationship. Kids who were thrown together and just don't know what to do with themselves. I hold out the backpack. I want this thing away from me. I brought some stuff. I stole some stuff. Thought you might be hungry. He takes it like a starved dog takes meat from an outstretched hand. Thanks. You look like hell, I finish for him. No, just different. He gestures at the back of his neck. You cut your hair. Instinctively, I touch where my braid used to be. My head felt so light when Dad cut it all away, as if he'd taken off some terrible thing that had been dragging me down for years, which was true, in a way. Theo says, you actually look like a boy. My first instinct is to snap. I was a boy before I cut my hair and stopped wearing dresses, and I'd still be a boy if I hadn't. But I don't. I can't be mad at him for saying the same thing I thought when I looked in that bathroom mirror. He's just being nice. I look awful, I say. I force a smile even though he can't see it. Not really. I guess that's the same thing as looking like a boy, right? I've worn cargo shorts 3 days in a row. If that's not awful, I don't know what is. Theo snorts. How did I manage to land a straight guy? How dare you imply I'm heterosexual? I am disgusted and appalled. And we're quiet again, because we got close to the way things used to be, and neither of us knows what to do with that. Theo clears his throat. Did you come here alone? Of course I did. His throat bobs. I get the urge to pick out from under my nails blood that isn't there anymore. Benji, Theo says. I'm so sorry. I've been doing pretty good at not thinking about Dad. What would thinking about him do anyway? It won't change anything. It's fine. Are you sure? I wave my hand at him. I brought you stuff. Make sure it's okay. Right. He sets the broken backpack on the teacher's desk and opens it up. Sorry. I can't watch him take out the food, the socks, the water. Still, as he replaces his old ragged mask, I get a glimpse at his awkward half-stubble. My dysphoria burns. I'll never get to have that. I've come to terms with it, sure, but that doesn't mean it doesn't hurt. He stands there, hand over the mask as if feeling it. You came back. What, you thought I wasn't going to? I sit underneath the corkboard filled with coloring pages of the Ark and the Apostles. I'm not that much of an asshole. I just wouldn't have been surprised if you didn't. I would have been hurt, but I'd have understood. I haven't exactly been. He doesn't have to finish his sentence. No, he hasn't. He folds up his gangly limbs and sits beside me. He never did fill out as much as he thought he would, not the way his father did. Instead, he's wiry like a wound-up spring. Maybe one of those garage door springs that can take off your face if you mess with them. He's so close. His thigh presses up against mine. I have to stop myself from leaning against him the way I always have. I lost it, he says, and I ruined the best thing that ever happened to me. God, I hate apologies. He knows that. Why can't we just admit that it's all fucked up and move forward without talking about it? I hurt you because I wasn't mature enough to deal with you making a decision. What is he, a therapist? You shouldn't have had to be mature. We're kids. Don't change the subject, he says. I wince because he's right. I'm serious. I messed up. I'm glad you're back, and I'm sorry. There it is. The I'm sorry. I never know what to say back. If he knows what he did wrong, he doesn't have to say so. He just has to stop doing it and tell me he learned that way. But I should be demanding that he apologize, over and over, until it's the only thing he can say. I can't help myself. I want him to know. I thought you were going to break my wrist, I say, or my arm, or something. He looks away. I say, I was scared of you. I know. I'm sorry. Please stop apologizing. I want to hear him say it over and over. I want to sew his lips shut. Please. If it makes it even, which is a terrible way to start a sentence. I'm scared of you now. That's not difficult. A lot of people are scared of me. Well, he stares up at the ceiling. When I follow his gaze, I find little paper angels hanging from the tiles with string. They're angels the way I haven't seen them since I was so much younger. Chubby cheeks, halos holding crayon pink hearts. Still, though, their heaven white robes and feathered wings put me on edge. I guess scared isn't the right word. Fear is probably better. Fear God and keep his commandments. I blink in surprise to hear Ecclesiastes coming from Theo, of all people. He was always bad at recitation. For this is the whole duty of man. Theo's eyes fall to me. His smile shines in the crinkle of skin at his cheeks, in the light in his gaze. The duty I accepted when I agreed to marry you, he says, is to fear you and keep you. I should have remembered that. I won't forget again. So if the angels hurt you, then I'll fulfill my promise here. Our faces are so close. His body is so warm, and I missed him so much. I missed him. No matter what he did, I am disgusted with myself. I believe him. I'm not contagious, I say, and take down my mask. I pull down his too, and I kiss him. Kissing him is water after a drought, deer meat in my belly after days of refusing to eat. He freezes under my lips for just a second, the way he had before. Then he gives in, his hands greedily reaching for me and tangling in my hair. I wonder if I still feel the same to him without the braid there, the braid he learned to tie back up so no one knew we had been together. He stops. He pulls back. His gaze zeroes in on my parted lips. Without asking, I open my mouth all the way so he can see the fang. The pale, receding gums. The cruel curl to my lip that comes so easily these days. "You're turning," he whispers. Of course he's disgusted by this. Why wouldn't he be? I'm coughing up rot. My skin is turning ashen. My nails are one forgotten trim from turning into claws. I've told him about the martyrs. He knows what Seraph will do. Instead of telling me how gross I am, he says, "I kept the ring." As quickly as I was against him, I'm pulling away. Night air rushes in between us, freezing the parts of my arms and chest that were warm so close to him. His face falls. "Theo," I warn, "I don't think now's a good time." "No, no, I get it." He swallows hard. "I shouldn't have brought it up. I don't want to talk about it. It's too soon." I dig my nail into where the ring used to be. I took it off before Dad and I left. I put it in a little box and left it by his dorm, which means I wore the ring in the hours between him throwing me against the wall and Dad finally telling me it was time to go. I can't believe that was the same day. I can't believe it's only been a few weeks. It feels like months. It feels like forever. Please, I don't want to talk about it. "No, I understand. I understand." He catches my face and makes me look at him. "Hey, we don't have to talk about it if you don't want to." That's exactly what he said when I broke down crying when we were so much younger, when we had just fallen so hard for each other, when I was terrified of being a boy. He wouldn't pull that phrase out if he didn't mean it. He says, "I just want to be with you again." I hate myself for how much I wanted to hear those words. I tell him that if we want to make this work, then we need to go over some stuff. It's the only thing that keeps me from feeling like a girl in a classic movie, falling for the man who kidnaps her or holds her down. I look him in the eyes and say there can't be any apologies because I don't want to hear them, but we need to talk about the things the angels would never let us. The nest whines as we step into the atrium. Pieces of the front door lie scattered at the mouth of the sanctuary, spread out across the carpet and front porch. The smell of rot isn't as bad as it had been. The bodies have all been moved. I look to Theo with a frown. "The Grace wanted them," Theo says in explanation. In the pale moonlight coming through the stained glass windows, I try to find body parts that weren't part of the Grace before, but nothing sticks out as particularly old or new. It's just all the same flesh. "Didn't know you got along with Graces now," I say. "I don't," he says. Even with the front door broken, I don't feel particularly exposed here. Living things know not to come too close, and things that aren't 100% alive are what I'm best with. So we find a seat in the pews and sit, because we're too used to the smell of rot, and messed up like that. Grace meat has grown into the carpet under our feet. I whisper, "To me," and hold out my hand. A tendril of flesh peels itself from the ground and finds its way to my fingers, weaving through them like a child holding tight to a parent's hand. Theo's throat bobs. I hold out my palm. "You want to try?" I ask. "It's not going to hurt you." "I'm fine," he says. "Really. It's not going to make you sick this time." "Still." It's a strange closeness, this flesh curling between my fingers, something primal, almost paternal. "We came here to talk, so we're going to talk," I say. "You never told me why you left the death squads." Left is the safest word. No connotations. I pick it because I know better. I saw what happened when people asked at all, let alone used words like kicked out, failed, exiled. I was the one pulling him away when he got upset. Even now, I still expect a darkness to wash over Theo's expression. It never comes. No, I didn't tell you. This is me asking. Tell me how you left, and I'll tell you why I left. Fine. I let the grease crawl farther up my hand, to my arm, where it gets caught in the hair and rears back in confusion like a startled inchworm. We'd been planning it ever since we realized Mom was serious about putting me in the Seraph program. We wanted to get out before Sister Kipling actually injected me, but my back twinges with the memory of the needle slipping into my spine. That didn't work out. Theo makes a sad sound. He knows damn well it didn't work. We eventually smuggled ourselves onto a caravan headed to the DC compound. Ended up having to ditch halfway into the city when they caught us. I don't mention how I whispered to the Grace escorting us and slaughtered every angel who laid eyes on me that day. That the Watch and I are the reasons New Nazareth has lost so many people in just the past few days. We got stuck in the city after that, I say. Another tendril of meat comes up to wind between my fingers. We were about to make it across the bridge when a death squad found us. So, they killed them, he says. They did. And that group you were with a few days ago saved me. His jaw works under his mask. I know what he's going to say. No, you know it won't work. He looks away. They don't know who I am. If they did, they'd kill me. But Nick knows who I am. Aaron knows, and for some reason I don't say that. They kill angels. It's what they do. You can't come back with me. If they see your scars, you're dead, and I say this instead. I can't lose you again. He takes my hand, the one not twined with the grace meat. Thank you, he says. To fear and to keep. Mark 10, verse 9. What therefore God has joined together, let no one separate, not even ourselves. Not gonna lie, I'm impressed you got so far. How did you get past the gate? I snort, carefully and with our heads down. We give that time to settle, for everything in our chests and stomachs to calm. This time, Theo starts. Did word ever make it back about Squad Calvary? It takes me a while. I don't know the squads by name, but it does sound familiar, and when it clicks, my stomach sinks. That was your squad, wasn't it? Yeah. Was. To my surprise, he reaches out for the meat curled around my hand. Behind the altar, hundreds of eyes watch carefully as it grasps for him. One of the members went rogue. Killed everyone but me, and asked if I wanted to leave with him. A breath. And the thing is, I thought about it. I swallow hard. You didn't. I did. I thought he'd kill me if I refused, you know? Figured he'd put a bullet in my head if I said no, just like he did the others. I touch my cheekbone, right where Dad's face caved in on itself. But he didn't. Just walked off. And when I came back alone, they called me a failure and tore the wings off my back. There's nothing to say. Not really. I could have stopped him, was the thing. He'd gotten injured in the firefight, and I could have stopped him if I had just... He scrapes his hair away from his face. It's sticking to his forehead, even at night. It's just a bit too warm. He's probably dead. The wounds probably got infected, and the son of a bitch died. Yeah, I say. Probably. That's why I was so mad when you said you didn't want Seraph, Theo whispers. You were just handed the thing they took from me. I finish for him so he doesn't have to say it. And I rejected it. "Yeah," he says. "Yeah." I practically spat in his face. I dug my nails into the wounds in his back. I guess I can't blame him for being angry. We all get angry these days. "I'm glad you're here," I say. He puts an arm around my shoulder and pulls me close, my face nestling in the crook of his neck like it always has. He smells exactly the same. He says, "Me too." When I get sick a few seconds later, Theo rubs my back as I spit rot onto the floor. He kisses my temple and brushes hair from my face because the bobby pins aren't there to keep it back. My stomach cramps, and it doesn't feel like it's in the same place it's always been. If you cut me open, my torso would be a mass of sludge and flesh. Sister Kipling described it as the way a caterpillar dissolves before reforming into a butterfly. I gag and cough, and Theo holds me close. To keep and to fear.